Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be with you here on this Friday edition. It should be a lot of fun. Feels a little like a calm before a storm because we've got a big Monday coming up to tell you about throughout the show here today. It is Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here alongside you. Jad Chambers driving this ship for us, manning that IHOP hotline, which is brought to you by IHOP. 869-1240 is the number to call. We appreciate IHOP's support of the show. We have all kinds of good stuff today. We'll really dig in and set up what we have coming Monday for you. We'll get into the Royals, certainly. It is the day after one of the great holidays on the American calendar. We'll rank them. Where do we put 4th of July? We had an interesting discussion, my wife and I and kids, about where 4th of July goes. My wife claimed that it's her favorite holiday, and that surprised me a little bit. I don't think I knew that after, you know, about 15 years of us being together, 10 years married, or whatever it is, whatever the number is. I don't think I knew that, but it's a good one. I like it. It's a good thing. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Man, I'm good. I'm tired. Good to be back, though.
I am, I feel too. Like,
I feel like I haven't really seen you a whole lot this week. I took a couple of days off at the beginning of the week and was in a little bit on Wednesday, and then, of course, yesterday was the holiday, but yep. Good to be here. Good to be back. You know, I know we discussed it the other day, but I'm just not a huge fan of weekday holidays when you have to go back to work on the day after. Like, I feel like today should just be another holiday. That would make things a lot easier for me.
Well, listen, we could start there. So I agree that I love the holiday. The reason I can't rank it one. Now, the reason for the holiday aside here, obviously, we're not talking about that. That makes it great. That makes it awesome. That makes it better, everything. But as far as the holiday and enjoying it itself, I probably would have it at or near the top because the fireworks are awesome. It always means it's the summertime. You're outside. It's a barbecue probably. You've been at the pool. All those things make it great. But you can't guarantee me that it comes for a three-day weekend. And that's why I've always said the Monday holidays, Memorial Day, Labor Day, those are the ones for me that as far as celebrating them really hit home hard. Like, because I know they come with a 3-day weekend, you know? And I would probably say, I'd probably say Memorial Day because it also coincides with, no, sorry, that'd be Labor Day. Labor Day, the one in September, because it coincides with fantasy football drafts. So, you know, that's another one. And then, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving are amazing and all those things, but just the good weather 3-day weekend is pretty hard to beat.
Well, and that's what you always know about Thanksgiving. You've got Thanksgiving going to fall on a Thursday, but Black Friday is typically another day that everybody has off, and you just kind of know it's built in, you know, as a 4-day weekend at that point. Makes it tough when, you know, and I'm sure there are a lot of people playing hooky from work today, I would imagine. But, you know, I know that there are people that are, you know, working away today on this Friday and catching up on things. Here I don't know if – is there a more – like this year, a more useless work week than this week? Because I'm not sure that there is. I felt like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you have people out left and right, probably summer vacations and things like that. Then you've got the 4th of July. And then really, who's going to be jumping into having a really, you know, productive work day the day after the 4th of July? Let's be real honest about that.
Well, the TV, where it was a stormy week, which is always busy for the TV live. So it's felt, you know, like a meaningful week in that way. But yeah, the summertime is hard. We've got a home renovation going on right now. And that's really just created this time warp. I don't even know what day it is. It's eating up most of the summer. So that's been a little strange too with the kids, and they're about to pull their hair out. And it's just that is also, hey. And that's why I'm tired. I'm not tired from a great party. I was tired because I was up all night building furniture. Yes, Chad.
Hey, Tommy, I just got it. Yeah. Do you want to take a guess on the number of people I have actually seen here at the Odyssey campus this morning? The number of
people.
I'm
not there right now. I would imagine it might be you, and I'm going to say two other people.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. I have seen.
It's got to be what you, Steve, and Ted, I'm guessing, from KNSS.
No, Steve wasn't here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a pretty slow day. Here's a really unpopular opinion, and this might be a little controversial.
Ooh, careful.
I'm not a big fireworks guy. Not a big fireworks fan. Like, I'll watch them. You know, the big displays. Yeah, cool. Like, it's impressive. I'll watch it. I'll enjoy it. Never been a buying fireworks person, never been a shooting off fireworks person. It's never really gotten me excited. And I don't, maybe when my kids are a little bit older, I'll get into it a little bit more, but I've never, like, even as a kid myself, you know, all my buddies are like, yeah, let's shoot off firecrackers. I'm like, I'm good. And I don't really, doesn't really do it for me.
Why is it that you do hate America?
Exactly. That's why I knew it was going to be a little controversial.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You can't. It's certainly not something you'd want to say. I
said it. I'm honest.
I got it. Sitting out and watching fireworks with the kids and hearing, you know, what is that song on the Sandlot? Like, all these things. Like,
yeah, America the Beautiful, the Ray Charles version of that.
That's as good as
it's great.
Gets.
Yeah, I did mention, I don't mind watching big fireworks.
There's not
displays.
A don't, but it's not a don't mind thing. That's an I love watching a big fireworks display in the summer at night. You know, you cannot like lighting them off. I'm okay with that, but you gotta like watching them. I mean,
it's fine. It's fine. If I, you know, like if I had to, because we've got two little kids, we've got a baby that's just over a year old, and you and I were texting last night, we were rolling the dice to see if our kids could stay out late enough to watch the fireworks. And the backup plan was, you know, I'd probably take the baby home, put the baby to bed, and then it's not that big of a deal. My wife loves fireworks. And that's great. It's fine. I take it or leave it. Not the end of the world if I don't get to watch it.
It's a lot of fun when they get a little older, I'll tell you that. My kids are now of the age where they're brave enough to maybe light one even and, you know, go have the fun and maybe not even have to have the headphones. They were pretty jacked up last night. It's great now. I will tell you this, though. It's not the same. Like, there is a difference in being young and dumb and firing Roman candles at each other growing up, which is a great thing, and, you know, lighting – you know, explosives underneath somebody's chair just for a good laugh and all that stuff. That does change a little bit with kids. Now it's like, all right, Where is everybody? Like, I got to make sure everything. Like, that part has changed a little bit. But
I was a terrified little kid. Like, I was scared of everything when I was a kid. And, you know, if something happened, and I was usually the one that got hurt, you know, like I would be really cautious and then I would be the one that ended up injured. And so, you know, when you're a kid, everybody does sparklers and all of that. There was one too many times of me, you know, trying to be brave enough to do a sparkler wearing flip flops or being barefoot and having, you know, the hot sparkler fall on my foot. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm not into
sparklers
this.
Sparklers are the most dangerous firework. There's more sparkler injuries, I believe, than anything.
Tommy, now I do understand it. My own group of friends, I wasn't the damage magnet, but my group of friends had a damage magnet.
I was the damage magnet. I was
get
the
where
one
you're
that,
coming from now.
You know, if I always tried to be the most cautious. I'm the one that's like, no, guys, I'm not going to jump off the roof of your house onto the trampoline.
What?
I'm like, that's just not what I'm going to do. But then I would be the one that ended up getting hurt. Like somebody would land on me and I'm trying to be cautious, you know, and I would break my collarbone, you know, things like that.
Yeah, my so group I, of friends I grew, had I grew up that kind guy. Of a scaredy cat. I get it now. I understand, Tommy. You're cool. That's fine.
Thanks, Chad. Mm. Appreciate your validation.
I'm concerned at your lack of, you know, peer pressure give. We've had conversations off the air related to the rabbit hole we went down, what, about a week ago of messing with people in the men's restroom and, like, kicking them into a urinal. And you guys think I'm crazy, but that, like, yeah, jump off the roof. Yeah. Shoot a Roman candle at each other. Yeah. Kick each other in the restroom, trip each other. Like, my wife has these conversations with me. She's like, what is wrong with you guys? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, that's what is my just very recently 5-year-old son love to tell us. He has a couple of little things he'll say when we're like, what were you thinking? He's like, that's just the way it is, Dad. Or that's just the way God made me, Dad. Like he's like very prophetic in his reasoning on bad decisions. But it's the exact correct answer. It's like, I don't know why I did that. Yeah, in retrospect, it is kind of a bad idea. But, you know, like, what are you going to do? Like, that? Here we are. Like, it's really funny to have these conversations with him because I was the same way. Most of us, except Tommy, apparently were the same way, making good decisions.
Tried to be safe. Had to be safe all the time.
Safety Sam. No, I hope everybody is safe, though. It does scare me more now than it ever did before with kids. Like, there is no question about that. That has changed the experience. But when you can kick back and watch a great display, and it's the weather. When was the last time you had weather as good as you had weather last night on the 4th of July?
Perfect.
It was
all day.
Not hot.
All day was perfect.
I didn't even have to shower last night or this morning before the show. Yet. I will at some point, maybe.
I'm glad I'm not around you. Glad we're not in the same
location.
But
I didn't even have, like, that's how much I didn't sweat, you know? Like, you know, I'm a sweater. That was great. You'll see me later today. You'll know.
Will you shower before we're going to a party?
I have no idea.
I'm hopeful you'll be, you know, clean and
fresh. We'll see how the day goes. Sometimes I sit there and I'm like, you know what? I'm probably going to get wet at this party. Somebody's going to be like, I don't know if I want to. Is this worth it? You know, you give it the old sniff test, and then you make your way. Now you sound like my wife, by the way, lecturing me.
Well, I'm looking out for all the other people at the party, not
just
myself.
I'll tell you this. I grew up on a farm, and in the summertime, I mean, you'd be lucky to get one or two a week out of me. Like, I was like, I'm not wasting my time with a shower. We got too much to do here today. Now I'm to one a day most of the time.
That's most good. I thought you were going to say, like, once a week, you know, like your weekly bath.
No, I can't do that. You know, puberty catches up and then you got BO and it's like, oh, man, I got to shower. What a waste of time showering is. All right. We're in a weird rabbit hole here. 869-1240. So the Royals lose last night. They lose the series to the Rays. I don't feel as concerned about that as I probably should. We'll take you through the fallout of that series. I'll tell you something 4th of July related that I don't care about this year, and that's the hot dog eating contest. Like, you can't convince me that it's worth my time when I know the best person is not doing it. But there are other things happening. We're maybe getting just a few trade rumors out there. We'll dig into those in Major League Baseball and how they might affect the Royals. We'll go through the standings. We'll have a giveaway for you today. and we will have other things coming for you. We will also tell you what we've got coming Monday, because I said today feels like a, you know, just kind of a calm before the storm, because we've got big guests lined up Monday. We're excited about. We've got our big launch, our big simulcast launching Monday. We'll tell you all about that. We'll dig into the Royals as we make our way through. Happy 5th of July, everybody. Hope everybody's making it through this work day nobody wants to be at today. We'll be right there with you. Don't go away. Sports Daily coming back. All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. It is the final Friday before we launch a simulcast on 12 News Plus. We're looking forward to that. So basically what will happen, and we'll just kind of get you set up here. What will happen is you'll be able to now watch this stream also on 12 News Plus. So it is, you know, if you haven't seen that, we stream a lot of content at 12 News. And so there will be in one of our live video players through kwch.com. And through the app and the other things we have, you'll be able to watch the stream there as well as all the other places you've been able to watch. So should be really cool. We're looking forward to that partnership. It'll be good timing on that. We'll get all the, you know, kinks worked out. We'll be ready to rock and roll, and we'll have sort of that runway right before football season when we'll be, you know, we will be ironed out at that point. So we're looking forward to that. You know, if you'd like to be a part of that, you can reach out to Tommy. You can reach out to 12 News. We're certainly looking for supporters in that endeavor as well. But we'll have Brandon Zenner out of Big 12 Media Days that we'll check in with throughout the week. That access, which we've always had, but it's even more in the forefront now. That will be really cool. But it's a partnership we're excited about, Tommy.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And all of the different avenues, like you just mentioned, to then be able to watch our video stream that we've really worked hard on the last year plus or so that we've been doing this. Obviously, if you're a radio listener, if you're a KFH radio listener or the Odyssey app or any of those other audio ways to consume the show, that's not going to change at all. If you like watching the show on YouTube or on X or on Facebook, that's not going to change at all. You can still do that. But what I really like about the different platforms, especially with the simulcast, is that if you've got a smart TV, if you've got an Amazon Fire Stick or a Roku or a Chromecast or whatever that looks like, you know, you can download the 12 News app and be able to just watch it right on your connected TV, which that's really cool also.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and there are endless possibilities that we will work through and make our way through that will be a lot of fun. We'll, you know, sort of combine powers. You'll see a freshened up look on a lot of things with, you know, video people getting involved in radio shows, which is always great. Here's what you guys can be the most excited about, though, outside of another way to take in the show. We're really trying to ramp up and explode out of the gate. So Monday's show, we are fully expecting to have two big-time guests. One, Royals General Manager J.J. Piccolo is expected to join us near the top of the show. I am really looking forward to that conversation. As often as we talk about the trade deadline and where this franchise is headed, getting Piccolo in here, the timing couldn't be better. We just want to pick his brain, really introduce him, too. I have not talked to him. So this will be my first conversation with him, but just to really get up to speed with what the Royals need to do, we'll have that Monday. That will be near the top of the show, so make sure you're tuning in around that 9 o'clock hour, and we'll make that connection. And then also in that first hour, we're going to have Mitch Holthus join us, just sort of for an off-season check-in. Always good to hear from Mitch, but I am curious to see how the work has gone, what he thinks of some of the new players, get his thoughts on, you know, trying for a three-peat here, if it feels like any of the off-the-field stuff has been distracting at all. He'll have a pulse of all of that. So eager to check in with Mitch. That's a pretty good way to kick things off. That's, I think as of now, that's all we have coming Monday is that. And then we'll have Paul Mills on Tuesday, Wichita State head men's basketball coach. Great timing there. Having conversations with some of the KU and K-State folks. We fully expect nice football for K-State check-in at some point over the next couple of weeks and hope for something similar with KU. So there's a lot coming over the next couple of weeks. We enter what would normally be the slowest time on the sports calendar with a lot of great guests and a lot of fun as we launch that simulcast. So it should be a lot of fun. We hope everybody's able to take that in as we make that transition.
You mentioned the timing of having JJ Piccolo on the show, and that's perfect with, you know, a couple of weeks to go until the trade deadline. But on top of that, you know, entering into the final week before the All-Star break. And so assessing the Royals at that break, you know, and being able to, you know, pick his brain a little bit on sort of what the direction is, what he likes about this squad, what needs to be improved, and, you know, see if that lines up with what you and I have been talking about for the last few weeks or so about what we think needs to be improved with this team. So I can't tell you how excited I am, not only for the simulcast launch, also to have guests like JJ Piccolo, and then of course Mitch Holthus, who is incredible, to kick off this new partnership. I can't wait.
We still have to look back with Piccolo too, because he had one of the better off seasons in Major League Baseball. You won't find one that's been better, I don't think, based on additions making an immediate and sudden improvement. The things that he did this offseason were just incredible. So that'll be a good conversation. We're working out the final details on that. We expect it near the top of the show. We expect that launch near the top of the show. So join us. It'll be fun. It's an exciting time here for Sports Daily, and we just continue to grow it. And we hope you will, too. But you can do that. This video stream is available already on Facebook, YouTube, and X. You can share it there. We'd appreciate that. You can always leave your comments for the show there. You can always call into the show at 869-1240. And here we go. We'll be rocking and rolling on Monday. I might have to spiff up my background here. It's been my background since we launched the video stream, and I'm decoratively challenged, you might say.
We're working on mine this weekend. It's going to be a little bit more, you know, a little bit more professional looking, I think, by Monday.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
Hey, Jacob, where's Macho?
He's right there. Right there.
Right here. You've got him hidden away.
My kids put this beanie on over the weekend. They found that. They're pretty excited about that. Yeah, he's down there. He's hanging. He's hanging in there. Maybe I can find a way to pin him to the wall. That'd be kind of weird, actually. But it'll be fun. It'll be good. All right, Tommy Royals. So they lose the series to the Rays. Alec Marsh does not have a good start yesterday. I don't think... Look, the standings are concerning. We'll get to that in a second. In its totality, though, losing a series to the Rays, even if it's at home, when you don't get Lugo or Reagan's pitching in that series, I can live with that. Maybe if there wasn't a rain delay Monday that made that kind of weird, maybe, and they lost, I'd be a little more bothered. But when I think about the rain delay, when I think about your fifth starter giving you a bad start occasionally, I don't think it bothers me too much. What bothers me is basically everybody else in the playoff chase won yesterday. So now you look at a situation in the standings that bothers me, in which the Royals are in third place in the Central, 8 games back of Cleveland, who just couldn't get on a big losing streak if their life depended on it. And then you go over to the wild card, and the Royals would be out of it today. They get a bunch of games against Boston coming up here pretty quick, which is good. But they're the third team. They're losing ground on Minnesota. Minnesota's becoming a problem, a big problem. They've played a bunch of games against Minnesota. They have a few left, not as many as they have, I don't think, against Cleveland. But, you know, it's a problem right now. And the good news is they play Boston, I think, 5 or 6 times over the next little bit. So they can handle that sort of themselves. We know Houston's coming on strong, which means you'll have to hold off probably Seattle. It's a mess, and you just can't afford a lot of this. So on one side, it doesn't bother me too much because I think the circumstances of the series make sense. But on the other, this is sort of what I think they're going to be dealing with the rest of the way. Like, that's always kind of going to be the case. There's too many teams. I don't know that I don't think 90 wins is going to get there this year. I think it's going to be 92, maybe. It's hard for me to imagine with all these teams and the circumstances that there aren't going to be at least those wild card teams aren't going to be at least at 91 wins. It just feels that way to me.
Yeah, and yesterday's game, I think, really went back to what we had seen from the Royals a few weeks ago, where it was them falling behind early then the offense kind of comes alive, but it's not quite enough to get all the way back. That had sort of been the theme for a while. Then it moved into a theme of just the Royals couldn't hit. And that was written, the pitching was great. And so it kind of shifted. Now you're back to that falling behind early, Alec Marsh getting chased after threes. And then really the middle of the game, the middle of the bullpen, didn't pitch well yesterday at all either. Carlos Hernandez had a bad inning in two thirds. Will Smith didn't look particularly good. Nick Anderson didn't look particularly good. Now, I'm not super concerned about those three guys because they're not right now, the way the bullpen stands, really the high leverage relievers for the Royals. They're more like you fall behind early and you try to, you know, have them come in and just to hold things where they are. And they didn't do that, obviously. But the Royals offense kind of came alive. There was that crucial moment when Bobby Witt Jr. tried to steal second base and got thrown out. And that ended the Royals rally a little bit. They made it exciting. But ultimately, you know, I think that it's, I've seen a lot of people in the last 12 hours or so talk about that they are concerned about the Royals because they lost the series to a Rays team that now barely over 500. And so the thought process I've heard from people is, well, if they can't beat a barely over 500 Rays team, then how are they actually going to compete to make a playoff spot? I think it's a little bit different for me, in my opinion, on this because the Rays are better than what their record indicates. They've underperformed. They've underperformed this season. And so I don't look at them as a barely over 500 team. I look at them as a team that should have a better record than that. So I kind of fall where you fall on this. I'm not as overly concerned about them losing this particular series against the Rays as I was when they were on the road and they were, you know, falling, you know, to other teams and losing series to other teams. I'm not as concerned about this one. And I think especially because you mentioned the Red Sox, they're coming up. But honestly, it's this weekend set on the road at Colorado. I think the expectation should be that they sweep this series or at bare minimum,
even on the
take
road.
Two of three. The Rockies are not very good.
No, they're terrible. Look, I'm not casting stones because I've certainly done this. But taking a bird's eye look and saying the Rays aren't very good, you know that it's taking it. The Rays have won 10 out of their last 14 games.
Right.
And not only have they won 10 out of their last 14 games, within that is a series win on the road against Minnesota and a series win against Seattle. And now a series win against Kansas City. So Tampa started slow, but Tampa's not a bad team. Tampa's not even a 500 team. Tampa's a good team that started slow, much like Houston. Right, much like Minnesota, much like a lot of these teams in this race, good teams that start slow don't make them bad teams.
Yeah, they've come alive. They've come alive.
Looking at records sometimes, especially in baseball, is a fool's errand. You have to look at basically, like, what have you done over the last 2 weeks when you come into a series against a particular team? Or you'll be fooled. Now, there are some situations, like with the Rockies. Yeah, that doesn't matter. Rockies are not good. They're not. They've never been good this year. They're not going to be good. That's different than the Rays. So when you look at the schedule, you have to consider some of that, right? When you're paying attention to that. The easiest way, if you're a casual Royals fan, the easiest way to do that is just to go to any of the baseball standings. Right. And then go. All you got to do is go in there and look. They all tell you what these teams have done over their last 10. OK, so the Rockies coming in right now are 3-7 in their last 10. OK, they're bad. They've been bad. They're playing bad currently. That's a series you shouldn't be too worried about. You go look at a team like St. Louis, St. Louis is only 4 games over .500. Do you remember how poorly St. Louis started the season? That means they're white hot right now. You got to play St. Louis like that, you know, and then after that, it's at Boston. All these games are on the road, by the way. These 8 games are on the road. Boston obviously has been playing well all year, and they are a team you're chasing directly in the standings right now. So this is no easy task. That's why the Colorado series needs to be. Not only that, you get Colorado and you get your 3 best pitchers. You get your 2 best pitchers, and whether you think Singer or Waka is better. I probably trust Waka a little bit more, but Singer's been good his last couple times out. Like, you get all of that. And then you're going to get those same 3 against Boston. So you can't just look at when we look, because we do pay a lot of attention to the schedule, because what I don't think is that the Royals are some schedule-proof juggernaut. They're not. We got to be realistic about what the Royals are. They are an incredible baseball story this year. Most improved team, not even particularly close. But they're not a schedule-proof juggernaut. They're a flawed team. Can they fix those flaws, I think, is what we focus on the next month. But they're a flawed team. So it does matter who they play and when they play them. And when you play, I'd much rather play the Rays in April than right now.
Maybe
the Rays
where
are on
you play them
flipping
too.
Fire.
I think that's part of it a little bit. And
with the Royals,
who you have, who you have available and the order of the rotation, there are a lot of variables
that
come into play.
Right,
look at a team like the Dodgers or the Phillies this year. The Yankees have fallen off a little bit. I would even maybe put the Guardians in that category.
Absolutely.
Doesn't really matter who they're playing. Doesn't really matter who they're sending out to pitch. It just they're gonna have a fighter's chance, and maybe even better than that, they're gonna be probably expected to win those games, regardless of what the situation is. The Royals, I agree with you in that regard. It is more of a situational, conditional, atmosphere for Kansas City, depending on who they're playing, how hot they are, all these different things that come into play about whether or not they're actually going to have the best shot to win the game. I go back, by the way, to the game on Wednesday night. And that's another reason why I'm not overly concerned after this Rays series, because Michael Wacha, number one, pitched awesome on Wednesday night. The Royals were clutch when they needed to be clutch. Salvi was clutch, added insurance runs when they needed it the most. And the Royals held on to win, obviously punctuated by that great Kyle Isbell catch to basically seal the deal for the Royals. But that was, to me, that was the kind of game that I look at and I say, that's an October baseball game. That's an October playoff baseball game that they won. Now, they lost the other two in the series. The game on Tuesday, the rain delay, all that stuff, that didn't help them. And then, of course, the game last night, they lost the series overall. But watching the way they played on Wednesday, that's, again, a flash of, man, this team is absolutely good enough to compete to be a playoff team.
It is. Their margin of error is just small. And so that's why you hope. And, again, we'll ask J.J. Piccolo this on Monday. That's why you hope that they're in a position to be as aggressive as humanly possible at the deadline. And I mean that in the sense that, because I've seen, it's so, it's funny to me. So last year, I did not agree with the masses. And when everybody early on was like, sell, trade Bobby Witt, this will never work. I'm like, hey, now hang on a minute. Like, yeah, sell your pieces that don't look good in the future. But that doesn't make any sense to me right now. And then now you sort of have everybody, well, the masses, I would say, no, we don't. You don't want to sacrifice the future. I've just been on the opposite end of that. I think you're in a position here that is so difficult to project the longevity of it that you have to be aggressive now. That's always been my point. It may not work out, but God, they owe it to the fans to at least try. And it's not always that way. Like, 2014 was not that way. 2014, you had a team, I mean, I don't know how many of those guys, 7, 8, 9 of those guys were young, coming into their prime, under control. Like, you had a core there that you weren't really going to mess with, right? They really don't have that right now. They have Bobby Witt Jr. They have Salvi. Listen, I'm going to give him his flowers because Vinny Pasquantino is finally starting to come to form this year. They have Vinny Pasquantino. That's kind of it in the lineup. Right. That's like, if you told me what three players in the offense would you build around, it would be those three. And I'll concede on Pasquantino. I hope he's awesome. Again, I said that a million times. Out of the bullpen, how many of those bullpen arms are sure things? Because I would say zero of them. Right. Like, none. Not one. Like, you don't have one that you're like, that's a dude that's going to be there. I would say none of them.
There's a couple that I feel like the ceiling is fairly high, but as far as
there's
just
a couple
the reliability isn't always there for
and
any
the long term usage, right? Like, when in 2014, you probably had four guys in that bullpen that you were like, these are going to be those dudes for a while, and they were. In the starting rotation, you have basically five right? That's the strength of this team. We know that. You at least have four, and you have them all for this season and next season. Okay, that's it, right? And so I want you to imagine a future, and this is a very real possibility, that next year you might be trading Lugo, Waka, right? You might have to trade Singer. He's going to be coming up near the end of his deal. You might have to trade those guys because everything hadn't lined up and you were in contention like they are this year. And that's a very real possibility. And if we're being honest with ourselves, if they're not in contention at this point next year, those will be the moves to make because they'll be able to return a ton. So if you think about that, that means this is the year. They're in a position to do it now. They're in a position to compete. They have all the pieces. Now is when you add because you might have to tear it down next year. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a very real possibility because what do you think the chances are after next year they can bring back Lugo, Waka, or Singer? You might be lucky to bring one of those guys back because they're going to be really expensive based on what they're doing right now. This is your window. Like, this year is the and maybe next year.
I think next year probably you can add into that too.
You would use those guys. But I would tell you that the planets have aligned for them in a lot of ways. Health-wise, you know, there have been a lot of things that have gone their way this year that could very easily not go their way next year. So you just have to be really careful with talking about building for the future. What future? There's not a lot there. So don't, like, it's in front of them right now. Like, right now.
There's been this narrative, and I don't disagree with it all the way, but a narrative, and we've said it on this show, there's not a whole lot in the farm system. There's not a whole lot to build off of. That being said, though, I don't know if you saw this. There are two Royals minor leaguers that were named to the Futures game. CJ Alexander and Brooks Lee, I think, was the other one. You know, those are a couple guys that
just got called.
Brooks somebody. There are two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so those two guys, they may not show up on rankings and that sort of thing. They're playing really well right now. The cupboard is not completely bare, I guess is my point.
There
are some future prospects that are probably there that can be contributors in the future.
There are in every minor league system, but it's not obvious and it's not loaded. And it might be the worst. I'll have to go look. It's close to the bottom of the league and farm systems right now. Now, those things change really fast. They've called up some high-level players recently. That impacts that. Right when you call, so that's also a reason to imagine a world where they might have to trade some of these pieces away if next year doesn't go well, if they're not, you know, blessed with good health like they've been this year. Like, you have to strike while the iron's hot, even in a crowded year. You gotta go. We'll talk about it and tell you what, we'll give you what one place is sort of reporting at early rumblings of the deadline. The problem for everybody is there's so many teams in contention, nobody wants to sell yet. And that's, I'm sure, and we'll ask JJ Piccolo Monday, but I'm sure that's a part of the reason they haven't been able to do anything. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. You can leave your comments on our video stream as well, which you can find in all the usual places, Facebook, YouTube, X. We'll be right back. More Royals talk on Sports Daily. Baseball coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. This portion of the program presented by Crestview Country Club. Tommy and I were there last night. Big fireworks display. That one's, you know, sort of open to folks to come try it. A lot of fun. It was really good. I feel terrible, Tommy, for the grounds crew there to have to, you know, fix the green on 18 South. Those kids, man, they have a great time, but I'm just like, oh, good. Like, what are they doing to this whole thing? It happens every year, and every year they get it fixed, and it's fine. But it is a great party, great fireworks show. It does the trick for us. It's always just right. But it was fun out there. We were at the pool most of the afternoon, and then just kind of popped over and watched some fireworks, ate a burger, and had a snow cone.
Yeah, it was a great day. I mean, we talked about the weather at the beginning of the show and how perfect it was. I got to go play golf yesterday morning, which was nice. We didn't have a show yesterday, so had that opportunity to go and do that. And a big group of guys golfed yesterday, and there was a moment fairly early in the round. It was overcast. The wind was coming out of the north. I'm not going to go so far to say that it was chilly outside, but there was definitely, it was like, okay, well, this is about as comfortable as it could possibly be out here. And I remember 4th of July's playing golf where I've just been dripping with sweat throughout the course of the morning and afternoon. So it was absolutely picture perfect, and just a great day to do that out at Crestview. And I've got to play the golf in the morning. You got to do the pool in the afternoon, and then we both did the fireworks at night. It was a great day.
I'm ready to golf. I was going to whatever, what was it, Wednesday night, and then it rained a bunch. So yeah, it was a good day. Give them a call. We appreciate their support on the program. And I don't know what else to say other than I never would have imagined myself in that role, and I've enjoyed it so much. And for us, like, here's the thing about it too. Like, for us, we're out of towners. We don't have any family here. Like, it's just us. A lot of these holidays, we end up there because we don't really have, it's not that, like, this isn't like, nobody feels sorry for anything. Like, we don't have, like, we're going over to, you know, my parents' house. We're going over to the in-laws' house. So it's like on a holiday, there's a lot of out of town. There's a lot of people like us. We just pop over to Crestview, and it's become like this, you know, this little gathering place among people that are in the same situation as us. Yeah, you're transplants from both places. So give them a call. Ask about the memberships. We appreciate their support. Coming up in the second hour, we'll tell you, we'll dig in a little bit on the trade deadline, what some rumblings are around some of the teams that might be fringy. We know who the obvious sellers are. You know, the really bad, the Royals are about to play one of them tonight. Like, those teams, they don't have anything, you know, sitting there this year that makes them think they'll be in it. Those teams will be sellers. But there's a lot of teams on the fringe this year, a ton. And that's what the third wild card has done. The third wild card has made being a seller better than it's ever been. If you don't believe me, remember what the Royals brought back at the deadline last year, and one of them sitting right at the top of their rotation. That kind of stuff happens now in baseball. So, you know, keep that in mind. It will be a very interesting month. So we'll dig into that a little bit. We'll go, you know, around the sports world too and look at some of the other stuff happening right now as we get ready to sort of enter that. You know, it is like it is a very slow part of the sports schedule coming up here. Really, you know, it kind of gets going with the 4th of July. So that does give us a chance then to dig into some other things. Want to talk about, you know, the Big 12 media poll again a little bit, Tommy, without you here early in the week. There's a lot of little things. I want to talk about Missouri trying to counter Kansas on getting the Chiefs and Royals. That's been interesting. We haven't spent a lot of time on yet this week. They've got rumblings over on that side of the border. So we'll do it all in the second hour. Your chance to win some HTO coming. We'll get you that opportunity and how you can do that in the second hour as well. Stick with us here on Sports Daily. And by the way, on your way into work and you want to keep listening, you got to get out of the car here. No problem. The Odyssey app, odyssey.com, the place that you can do that very easily. I just talked to a great listener, manages the Lowe's out there on Kellogg, telling me he listens to us in podcast form. That's how he takes us in. Odyssey app, listens to us that way. So shout out there to that fine gentleman. And you can do the same thing. It's okay if you're not with us live. Take us with you wherever you go on the Odyssey app. We'll come back. Sports Daily, hour number two, coming right up.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester with you on this Friday. Doesn't feel like a Friday. What on earth, like, what day is it?
I don't know what today is.
For a thousand reasons has been as confusing a week as there is. There was a day this week, like, I was just, like, totally off on what day it was. Like, ready to, like, go do something that I normally would do on a Saturday. But it is Friday. We know everybody's feeling that 4th of July hangover. You know, literally and figuratively. But we'll get you there. Hopefully you can go celebrate again tonight. And hopefully you just got the day off. Like, those are the people that I'm jealous of. Like, who just got the day off? Who gets the 4-day weekend? You're living that life we're all jealous of right now. But we're here with you if you're back on the work schedule. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline is open for you here. You can get in touch with us that way. Let's set up our giveaway here. We'll give away some HTO iced tea and coffee, more than 20 flavors of tea. Still great way to help celebrate the 4th. That is available at East Wichita, West Wichita, and in Derby. You can also get some free rain coffee if you come by the East location or down in Derby. All you got to do for that is text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. That's tea to short code 20357. You can enter once a day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Tommy, let's look at the trade deadline. So CBS Sports puts out some rumors here. And here's what they have. We know who the sellers are, right? The obvious ones are there. If you just look, you know it'll be the Rockies, you know it'll be the Marlins, you know it'll be the A's, the Angels, and the White Sox. That's all we know right now. That's a pretty short list. We think Toronto could enter that mix. And that'll be really interesting if they do that. Detroit, with the same record as Toronto, I would say is very much on the fence. Texas would be very much on the fence. I'd be pretty surprised if Texas sells anything. You'd have Washington on the fence. And this is sort of that next tier. You know, Pittsburgh would sort of be on the fence probably at this point. Then everybody else is kind of around 500, and you wouldn't be able to make any proclamations. So CBS Sports says the Mets will be focused on buying. Which is interesting, but they've gotten real, real hot. So the Mets would be focused on buying, according to CBS Sports. The Reds are in purgatory. They don't know yet. They're going to see how this goes for another week or two. And a team like the Reds has the luxury of waiting. And then you get the Angels already listening, according to FanSided, on a closer who's been pretty good this year. 3 ERA. 27 strikeouts in 27 innings. He's got the things that you would like to see out of a closer. And, so pay attention there because that is something the Royals could use. So that's what's out there right now. And then everybody else is sort of with the Reds, I think, Tom. They're just kind of in purgatory, wait-and-see mode. And there'll be a lot of those teams with really good assets if they choose to be sellers.
Yeah, one of the teams I think that we really keep our eyes on over the next couple of weeks, the Boston Red Sox, for obvious reasons. We know that the Royals are playing them a handful of times over the next few weeks. They're in that purgatory stage right now, too, where they're, you know, in the wild card mix, but they could fall out of the wild card mix with their schedule over the next few weeks. And there were rumors, even as early as I think before the season started or within the first month of the season, that they were more than likely going to be sellers if things did not go well for them. So now they're kind of in that holding pattern. Like, will they be a playoff team? Will they not be a playoff team? The next couple of weeks, if they can fall out of that, and the Royals will have a huge hand in that if the Red Sox end up becoming sellers. There are a number of players on that roster that could end up being pretty attractive trade candidates. And there's a couple of bullpen pieces, too, that the Red Sox have that they could look at moving if they end up falling out of playoff contention.
I mean, I don't think there's any chance that they fall out of playoff contention now. I would imagine.
They could. Think of the number of times they play Kansas City over the next couple of weeks. If Kansas City can, you know, get some games over them, then they could easily fall out of that wild card race.
They're 8 games over 500. I do think a part of this, maybe we'll have time to ask JJ Piccolo this. I don't know, because it gets a little bit into the weeds. But I am curious, from when there are so many teams like there are this year, and this is it, I have sort of tried to think of this more as a race against yourself to a certain number of wins, only because when there are so many teams in it, it feels too early to try and look at what your, you know, games back of any particular team when there are, when we look at the American League right now, there are going to be, for all of the wild card spots, for all 6, you're going to have, at least 10 probably teams competing for that. It's pretty hard to try and keep up every day with what each one's doing. Boston would certainly be in the mix of that. I almost think you just have to think of it as like a race against yourself. Are we going to get to whatever we think? What's the number? Let's say it's 92 wins. I think that would be safe. So it's sort of this race to get to 92. Because what's happening is when there are so many teams, yeah, you may have great series against Boston, and then you have a bad series the next week. Boston has a great series, and they're right back in the mix. Like it sort of happened with Cleveland. Right? Cleveland, you go out and you, yes, we took 3 of 4 against Cleveland. Then you lose the next series. Cleveland wins 2 of 3 and you lose another game. So I just think there's too many teams at this point in it to look at it that way. And it's almost like, okay, on the flip side, we do this with the Royals all the time. Are the Royals capable of getting to 92 wins? Yes, they are. Right? Despite everything else said, everything else aside, yes, they can. Boston has to feel the same way. Seattle has to feel the same way. Houston certainly does now. Minnesota certainly does. But Minnesota's 2 games better than Boston, I believe, in the standings. Tampa would feel that way. So I'm going to look at all of those teams and say, unless something tragic happens to them between now and the deadline, they'll all at least be stand pat and not sellers, maybe not buyers, but don't do anything kind of teams. I would venture to say Boston will be aggressive because they can afford to take on payroll. I think all of these teams are probably going to be buyers to some degree.
The only reason that I bring up the Red Sox is because of it was pretty clear at the beginning of the season that they could potentially be aggressive as sellers if the season didn't particularly go their way. Like that was, I think, more that they were talked about more as sellers even before the season started than maybe any other team in Major League Baseball. Now, of course, there are more clear sellers that are out there. And then there are some teams that, could potentially play their way out of being a seller. I know you mentioned, some of these teams that are very clearly going to move players. But I look at a team like, how about the Chicago Cubs, for example, who have underperformed this year? They've got some fairly attractive pieces that I think they could get a pretty nice return for, players like Cody Bellinger and others on that roster that they could easily move. It's just going to be a matter of, are they interested in being that aggressive and being sellers, or do they think that they could still play their way, into some kind of in the National League? That's where it starts to get really interesting with some of these other teams. I look at even like the Angels, for example. They're not moving Mike Trout, but there are a lot of other players that could be really good additions for these teams that just need one or two more pieces to get over the hump and, some outfield pieces and pitchers and things like that. So I look at that. I think the most likely player, if we're going to talk about the Royals, that could end up being in Kansas City by the trade deadline, somebody like Tommy Pham. And, the White Sox are god awful and they could move him. That's not a very expensive move for Kansas City. And I think that would be an upgrade piece for Kansas City in the outfield. I'm still not on board with that thought that you have to go out there and be uber aggressive if you're JJ Piccolo. But I do think if you can find some fairly affordable pieces like a Tommy Pham, could end up being a nice upgrade.
I don't think they can be aggressive because I don't think they have what it takes to be aggressive. I don't think it matters too much. I'm more curious about like how much volume do they have an appetite for? You're going to try to add a bat and a reliever to, like that kind of a thing. Mike Trout, if he makes it back for the All-Star break, if he gets healthy enough to play a couple of games before the deadline, you want to talk about Boston? I mean, if he'll make $35 million a year, 37 I think it is, until he's basically I think 38. I mean, I think there would be an appetite for Mike Trout, and if you're the Angels,
I think there would be too. I just don't think they're going to move him.
What are they waiting for though? Shohei's gone. Like you got to the Angels have got to find they got to push reset. Trout will be an interesting name. Just keep an eye out for Trout. Because if I'm the Angels and he gets back healthy enough for me to trade, they could trade him in the offseason. There's 1,000 times they could trade Mike Trout. There'll be teams willing to take on that risk. You're talking about arguably the greatest baseball player of all time. I mean, that's what you're talking about with Mike Trout. So, and he's 32. He's not old. he's been hurt a little bit here lately, but there would be a tremendous appetite for Mike Trout, and he would be really good for somebody for at least 3 or 4 years. So we'll see on him. That's an interesting
thing. I want to go back to the White Sox very quickly, because there's a trade that I think that the Royals could make with the White Sox. They could literally do one trade with that team. And I don't exactly know who you'd be willing to give up from the Royals' perspective that the White Sox would want in return. But you could basically take care, maybe not take care, but at least improve some of those holes that we've talked about in one swoop. If you can get Tommy Pham and, you know, Michael Kopech, their closer. If you get two of those, like both of those guys, then at that point you've got an outfield bat and you've got a bullpen piece. And I think those guys are probably going to be moved. Garrett Crochet also is somebody that is intriguing that the White Sox could potentially move.
He'll be one of the hottest names on the deadline.
I mean, he's got, you know, that fastball up over 100 miles per hour. That's kind of what his calling card is. So if you could get, you know, either Kopech or Crochet,
Crochet. He's going to be one of the bigger names traded. He's too good.
I'm just thinking like, how can the Royals maneuver a trade with a team like the White Sox if they want to try to address two different places in one trade and get it done, and you don't have to go worry a bunch of other things?
Crochet's whip, Tommy, is under one. His ERA is 3. Yeah. He's going to be one of the bigger names. He's 25 years old. If they trade him,
then go out and get their closer then.
It ain't gonna be the Royals.
You know, Michael Kopech.
I don't know that Kopech. Kopech's not. I mean, he's you know, maybe could slot in as your sixth or seventh inning guy. Like
he's their closer right now for the White Sox.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean he's been good. He hadn't been that good. I am interested in Tommy Pham, and I would love. Yeah, if you can get Kopech thrown in there, that's fine. I'm interested in Tommy Pham. You've got me with Tommy Pham for sure. We've said his name a lot. Just somebody who's productive, right, at the plate is what you could get with Pham, and a veteran who's been there and done all these things. And if I recall, and I'd have to look this up, I believe he's been a pretty good playoff bat in the opportunities he's had over the years, I think. Yeah, I would take Pham. I'm telling you right now, Crochet is going to be like one of the blockbuster guys.
Another option could be, I think we know that the Marlins are going to sell. You could try to work out some kind of trade where maybe you're getting their closer, Tanner Scott, and somebody like Brian De La Cruz. Like that's, you know, an outfield bat that you could potentially acquire. Both of those guys look to potentially be dealt by the Marlins. I'm just trying to think of how can you maneuver this if you're J.J. Piccolo in one trade, as opposed to having to go and work with multiple teams and, you know, try to address your issues in more than one trade. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but that would be the way. If I'm going to make a trade, if I'm Piccolo and I'm going to try to figure out a way to improve this team in this window this season, then I'm going to look at, you know, players that and teams where you can maybe try to get it all done at once.
I don't think that's possible, unfortunately. So Tanner Scott, great name, been good now for 2 years. You got to think about who's trading him, the Marlins. The Marlins are different than the White Sox. The Marlins aren't going to be looking for salary dumps. They don't have any expensive players. So they're going to be in a position where they're going to want prospects back. Royals probably don't have the appetite for that, and they probably don't have the prospects to begin with. Scott may be one of the two or three best relievers that's traded at the deadline. So Kopech makes more sense, even though he's not nearly as good a pitcher at this point, because the White Sox might be willing to just do salary dumps. That's going to be what's interesting about this. You know, salary dumps with some on the White Sox, but like Garrett Crochet, again, he's going to bring a haul. Remember that Aroldis Chapman, who, you know, Tanner Scott, let's compare them, you know, just in the sense that they're high leverage, good relievers. That brought back Cole Reagans last year. The Royals don't have that sitting around to trade. And they wouldn't trade it even if they did have it. They had Cole Reagans, so they're not trading him. You know, it made sense for Texas. Move like that probably doesn't make sense for the Royals. So it is going to have to be very calculated in that they're going to have to find payroll dumping teams, I think, because that's going to almost certainly have to be a part of the equation. I don't think it will be as simple as, let's say, it is for Boston or for Houston or, you know, some of these teams that can just go isolate, like, who are the players we really like? Because right. they're in a position to just go get anybody, right?
They've and if it ends money, up being, you know, something – if you've got to go with the team that's looking for a salary dump, and I understand that logic, you know, that takes the Marlins out. It probably takes the A's out of the equation as well. You know, the A's have a great bullpen,
A's
and they've got
here,
a couple of outfielders too, that you could definitely go and acquire, but they're not looking for salary dumps either. I don't think.
Well, but they might be looking for, you might be looking for expiring contracts though. That can help too. Like, you know, if it's not a long-term piece, the A's, and who knows what the A's, are a wild card anyway, but you know, the Rockies, like some of the, it's
Blue Jays. You mentioned them, you know, there could definitely be salary dumps there with the Blue Jays with guys like Justin Turner. I've heard his name, you know, dropped as a guy that, you know, could be moved at the deadline. They've got a couple of relievers too. And what I like about what the Blue Jays have going on, if they end up being aggressive, is that all of the talk is going to be around Vladimir, maybe even Bo Bichette, moving those guys, the high profile names. The Royals, I don't think they're not going to be in on either one of those guys, but you can kind of work behind the scenes on some of these other pieces that the Blue Jays have and not have to worry about all of the, you know, high focus on Vlad and Bo Bichette. If you can go out and look at a Justin Turner, maybe one of their relievers, they've got a couple that are decent. That would be the way that I would attack the Blue Jays, because I have to worry about all the pressure and the stakes around, you know, one of those big name guys.
There are four teams, I think, and I could just off the top of my head, that I think immediately become the most interesting for the Royals. And I have not gone and looked through these teams and like who, what contracts and all the play. I haven't done that yet. Toronto, the White Sox, the Angels, and the Cubs would be the teams I'd be looking at real hard and scouting like crazy right now, because they're either out of it, real close to being out of it, and they're teams that can be salary dumping teams that are looking to do it. And so, you know, like, maybe they're just more interested in getting prospects too. That's hard to predict. But teams that are about to, like, start over in a lot of ways, probably you could do them a favor by just taking expiring contracts, taking like rentals. Like, honestly, the Royals, and you know, it's, we used to talk about the rentals in such a negative light, but this is sort of a year where a rental would probably be right up the Royals' alley. Like, what, I'd love to have a rental right now if all it cost us is money. And I think you got to look at those teams. Now, you could get into, some of these teams are bad financially anyway. The Marlins would certainly classify there. The A's would certainly classify there. Who knows what they're willing to do? I would certainly call on Tanner Scott. You know, I don't know what his, I'm going to look this up real quick, what his contract looks like. But, you know, he's on a one-year deal. Is that right? Or is that just an arbitration year? 2 seconds. Yeah, it's an arbitration. So he's an unrestricted free agent. So maybe he could come, right? Because they know they're not going to bring him back anyway. So make the calls. I just don't know that those are the moves we're going to see made. I think Tommy Pham screams at us because that's an obvious one that fits in every sense of everything, right? That just makes sense. Who's a guy that you don't need that we could borrow basically for half a season? And I'm sure that, you know, the Cubs and the Angels have those guys too. The Angels closer might be a great candidate, Estevez. He's not as good as Tanner Scott, but he's probably a whole lot more affordable. And that's a team that maybe real close to needing to completely blow that thing up. It will be fascinating. We will have the conversation with J.J. Piccolo on Monday and see exactly what they're thinking. My guess is they're waiting like everybody else because they're too jammed up right now and there's nothing that they can do.
I also think that there is a priority. If you can get, and I know an outfield bat is definitely the direction, I think, offensively that the Royals need to look at. An added benefit, and potentially a big time added benefit, is if whoever that outfield bat that they add can also lead off, because that continues to be a recurring issue for Kansas City. Whether we're talking about Michael Garcia or Nick Lofton, neither one of those guys are hitting right now. Matt Quatrero is allergic to putting Bobby Witt Jr. in the leadoff spot. That's just, I'm off of that soapbox because it's not going to happen. He's not going to do it. He would rather have Kel Garcia or Nick Lofton strike out every time they go up to bat than put Bobby Jr. in the leadoff spot. I just don't know who else you put in there. So if you can acquire a rental and outfield bat that can also lead off, I think that checks all the boxes right there. And that's probably not Tommy Pham. So I don't know if that ends up disqualifying the 36-year-old Tommy Pham, because I don't think he's a leadoff guy, at this point in his career. So I don't know. I think that would be an added benefit that you absolutely need to look at.
It'll be fascinating. Maybe we'll ask Piccolo about that leadoff spot. Maybe he has thoughts. I don't know. We got other things.
Isn't it infuriating? Stat last night that Nick Lofton in his last 40 plate appearances, 3 for 40 in his last 40. Mikel Garcia, 5 for his last 63. Those are the two guys that you're trotting out there batting lead up.
Tommy, it's been infuriating for me since, I don't know, every day of this season to not be leading off Bobby Witt Jr. He is Acuna. He is Trout.
Yep.
He needs to be leading off. He needs to be leading off. I mean, obviously, my opinion on that hasn't changed. 869-1240. All right, Royals fans, we can go back to any of that. Revisit it if you'd like. We'll move forward. Let's look at what Missouri's doing to try and keep their teams. I think it's interesting. They're trying. I don't know if it's going to be good enough. We'll have that when we return on Sports Daily. Welcome back. It is Sports Daily. Tommy, have you been tuned in at all on what Missouri is up to here when it comes to the Chiefs, the Royals? It's almost like they're willing to break them apart. They're kind of focused on what it's been strange. It's been strange. Like a Chiefs-only ballot.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, what they're trying to do, and I get it. I understand, they're at this point, it's kind of, I don't want to say that they're flailing, or it's kind of a Hail Mary kind of situation. But at this point, I know that at least from a political capital standpoint, like these lawmakers in Missouri need to try to do everything that they can to salvage this, to try to figure out a way to fix it. Because I think even all the way up to the governor of the state, if they end up losing these two teams, I think that's gonna look bad on what the lawmakers of that state are trying to accomplish. So I get it. I get why they're I don't know if they're in panic. Might be in panic mode at this point, but trying to do something to figure out a way to keep those teams.
It feels to me like they're punting on the Royals. At least on the proposals I've seen, and everything they're talking about only benefits the Chiefs, and they're taking all of that, all those resources that would go to both, and just saying, we'll just give you all this. It just seems disorganized. There seems to be no unity on it. People don't agree. I don't even think there's a real appetite for it among the fans, because they know there's not a real threat to lose the teams to another area because they can just go to Kansas now. I think that honestly dilutes the appetite for Missouri to keep it. Kansas has played this very well. Chestnut checkers. Kansas has had this foresight for a very long time. And you're not going to hear a lot of, we're not particularly kind to politicians. We make a lot of jokes. We got jokes, but they deserve a ton of credit here, I think, in my opinion, because you can go back to sports betting. They have had their eye on the prize now for 3 years. The second that the Chiefs floated it out there that they might be willing to come over, you saw sports betting push through. You saw provisions in sports betting that are specifically tied to this specific situation to bring professional sports franchises over. It's not a tremendous amount of money, I know, but they had the foresight to put that in there. You've seen the disorder. You know, you just sort of get your ducks lined up here, okay? And then all of a sudden the vote goes sideways. Boom, Kansas is on it instantly. They're on it with an offer that Missouri can't match, quite frankly, without just doing something absolutely ridiculous and stupid, which maybe they're willing to do. I don't know. The Chiefs are sitting back here just, you know, evil man in the chair with their fingers counting their money because somebody's going to give them a ton here. We've seen a lot of what Kansas is willing to offer. Not all of it because they don't want to play their hand to Missouri. Now Missouri's got to counter it unless they just come way over the top. Like, if you're the Chiefs and you have seen this level of dysfunction, wouldn't you just want to do business with Kansas anyway? So much more organized, so much more united. It's not a partisan thing, so you actually see lawmakers do what they're supposed to do and not just blow smoke. Like, they've set this all up, and whether you think it's the right decision or the wrong decision, logistically speaking, they've laid it right there for them.
Yeah, and I think that part of the challenge with Missouri, and Carson, the governor of Missouri, said this, that he anticipates having some kind of aid plan in place by the end of the year. So first off, there's a couple of issues with that. Number one is the timing of it. Kansas now has a several month head start because they're now in a position to negotiate directly with the Chiefs and the Royals right now, since that was, you know, passed in the special session and Laura Kelly signed off on it and all of that. They can now negotiate with these two organizations starting now and moving forward, where Missouri probably won't know their numbers and what that aid plan looks like until the end of the year, is what the governor said just a few days ago. Number two, so the timing is one. Number two is the fact that it's going to require legislative approval, this aid plan for Missouri and what they're trying to put together. And we've seen the way that that state government operates when it comes to sports betting. They've not been able to get that wagering plan done in the state of Missouri basically every time that it's been brought forward. So if they can't get that done, I have a hard time thinking, unless there's a panic button set and everybody is like in unison that they're going to do this, I'm going to believe it when I see it, that the state of Missouri can actually get their crap together to be able to pass this by the end of the year. And I think that the governor of Missouri might be a little overly optimistic that something will be put together.
People also just, they think that a team is not, you know, like, oh, they would never do that. I think there's some of that. They'd never go over there. They're not going to go over there. Of course they would.
They would.
Let's just look at a list of NFL stadiums right now. Okay. Allegiant Stadium is technically in Paradise, Nevada. AT&T Stadium for the Dallas Cowboys is in Arlington. Okay. The Commanders Field, which is what it's called, Washington, they're in Landover, Maryland. You've got the New England Patriots, which is not really qualified because that isn't a real place anyway, right? But you've got the Buffalo Bills playing in Orchard Park. You have the San Francisco 49ers playing
next.
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara. Yeah.
You have two New York City teams playing in New Jersey. You have the two LA teams playing in Inglewood. You have the Phoenix, Arizona team playing in Glendale. So, I mean, look, and it happens in Major League Baseball too, right? Like, this is the same thing in Major League Baseball. Like, they don't care. They just
Texas
need to be
Rangers,
within driving your, distance.
Your yeah. Texas Rangers, their old ballpark was named the Ballpark at Arlington. And they're the Dallas Texas Rangers, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So, I mean, come on, like, this sort of thing happens all the time. If you don't think that the Royals or the Chiefs would move to Overland Park, you know, or like they absolutely would go across the border and do something like that.
It's less, you know, it happens less in baseball because so often you get these stadiums downtown. But it's a little bit, where did the Braves build their new field?
In Cobb County, Georgia. They're,
yeah,
I think 45 minutes away from downtown Atlanta.
Isn't that where, on a separate note, isn't that where the Big Boss Man hailed from? Cobb County, Georgia? Cobb County.
I think you're right. I believe that's correct.
Where did the Big Boss Man hail from? I'm pretty sure it was Cobb County. There's a definite wrestling reference there. I got this is gonna drive me nuts. Marietta, I think he said Cobb County. Yep, there he is. Former corrections officer in Cobb County, Georgia, the home of the Atlanta Braves and the Big Boss Man. One of the great characters in pro wrestling history, by the way. Love the Big Boss Man. But anyway, it's just not out of the realm of possibility that they come over at all. Like, I wouldn't, like, I there was a point where I was 50. I think I'm more than 50-50. I just don't know why the Chiefs, especially the Chiefs, would want to mess with that mess that is Missouri governance right now. Not just this. They can't even get sports betting through. And it's so obvious why they should, if as part of this conversation. They can't even get that through. So you have that. And the Royals, while I do think the Royals probably still have an appetite to be in downtown Kansas City, I think they probably should have that appetite. At some point, they just need to hope they get any offer. And right now they have something in Kansas. I don't know that Missouri, like if I'm the Royals, I'm deeply offended right now because these new proposals, it's like, yeah, we don't really care what the Royals do. We just got to get the Chiefs, right? And I don't even, I mean, you get 81 home dates out of a baseball stadium. Plus all the, you know, plus all the other stuff that you can get along with it, and I would assume Kansas would utilize that space in a lot of ways. So I think they're coming to Kansas. I really do. I don't think Missouri's going to be able to figure this out. I don't think they're going to be able to match the offer. And even if they are, it just seems clearer the path and the ability to be forward thinking as a business to be on this side of the border. And it's really growing that way. Like, I expected this massive Missouri counteroffer to come, and it's like, yeah, they got a couple proposals.
They don't have the mechanisms to do it, number one, and they got to vote on everything,
and it's, and not that that's a bad thing. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's muddier, it's messier. They could already be 6 months down the road here before Missouri even knows what it has the appetite for. They can't agree on anything. So credit to Kansas lawmakers. And I don't mean that to say this is the right decision. I mean that to say they're putting on a masterclass and how to get stuff done right now. This is how you move quickly. They've been thinking about this for a long time. I've been telling you that for 3 years. They've had a plan in place to get this done. They were able to move swiftly when the opportunity arose, and they did it. Right, wrong, or indifferent on the decision itself, the process to get there is 1,000 times better than what Missouri's been able to put out there. And I think the Chiefs notice that kind of stuff, and the Royals to some degree. But I think they're looking at all this too. And if I'm putting all this on the line, I just think it's becoming more and more obvious who you'd rather do business with.
The other thing, you mentioned the way that the state of Kansas has approached this, right, wrong, or indifferent. Not only has it been a masterclass as far as getting things done, it's been a masterclass in creating the story that they're coming in as the saviors to keep these two franchises in that metro area. Like, hey, if Missouri can't do it, if the voters won't pass it and get it done, let us step in. Let us be the saviors of this so we don't lose our sports franchises in the Kansas City metro area. Whether or not that's actually the truth or not, like from a narrative perspective, they've crafted that beautifully.
It's kind of the truth
because Missouri is dysfunctional, and the way that this all has played out for them, that's all true. You know, and would these two franchises leave for another market in general? Yeah, I think if the price was right, they would. Especially the Royals, I think, would do that in a heartbeat. But I do think that from the storytelling perspective, that's been done really well too.
Yeah, it will continue to be compelling. We're probably by the end of the year I would imagine know the answer on this, and we can all move forward and not worry about it anymore. But and then we can really worry about the things that matter, like what the stadium might look like, and you know, all those kinds of things. 869-1240, you can weigh in on that if you'd like. We've got other things. We'll preview specifically tonight's Royals game. Let's take a look and see if there's any bets we might like. I kind of on a heater right now. In baseball betting, Tommy, I might need to let that ride a little bit. You can't back away from a heater. We all know that. 869-1240. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this. We appreciate Prairie Fire Coffee fueling us up here. KFH, all the Odyssey stations there in Wichita. Thank you to Prairie Fire. It's an extra coffee morning. Why has today been so groggy? Like, I did not go hard for the fourth. I'll probably go a little harder today with nothing on the radar I can think of tomorrow. I don't know, Tommy. I had like two beers. I am zapped, man. And maybe it's just because I'm old and like building furniture every night just wipes me out physically. But I do. I just feel drained today.
It was a long day. You know, we moved into a new place earlier this week. That's why I was out Monday and Tuesday. And so it's been tiring, long days. And, you know, we hired movers. So that was good. But man, we moved on Monday. And if you recall back on Monday, it was hot that day. Tuesday was as well. Those poor movers, I mean, they're like in their 20s and they, you know, they're fit guys,
they're built
like
for
they,
it.
But they yeah. were, man, they were dripping wet and it was a hot day for them. So I'm glad they were doing it and not me. I tipped them well. It was rough.
The problem is for me on this front, one, if I never see another Allen wrench, I'll be very happy. You know how that goes when you're trying to build this stuff. And so my hands are fried, but they're going to come and install some, but you know this, and we're both like-minded in this. We were not blessed with patience. So lecture I got from my mom, basically my whole life. What was her famous saying? And this is just like in the most annoying mom way. She would always say, "Patience is a virtue. Catch it if you can." Mm. What was seldom in a woman, never in, or often in a woman, never in a man, something like that. And I'm like, "Shut up, mom."
Yeah, but it's always the worst timing. Like, so, you never want to hear that when it's being said to you.
And so there's these boxes in our garage of all this, you know, all the stuff we're adding on. We're doing like a remodel. And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to just come home and know that stuff sitting out there when it could be built. Maybe somebody else would, but that would add, you know, 3 or 4 days to this project, and I'm ready for it to be done. It's like, I'm just going to bring that stuff in and start building it. And lo and behold, I'm glad I did, because, you know, there's missing parts on some things, and I'm like, oh, my God. But, yeah, we're getting old, man. We're getting old. It's a very sad day. Yeah. But we'll go party like we're 21 again here probably tonight. We'll get a little more festive, do a little of our own firework popping. I'm just going to bring him over by. I'm going to throw black cats at Tommy all night. Now that I know he's leery of firecrackers, I'm
going
to tell my kids to take those little poppers and keep throwing them at Tommy. Everybody, you know, where's the smoke bomb? We need to have fun here.
That's going to be a quick way for me to go home early tonight.
don't say that. It'll be fun. We're looking forward to the night. It'll be a good party. And this, I'm going to need the full weekend to get ready for Monday. By the way, if you missed it, Monday, we are starting a simulcast with 12 News Plus, 12 News Connected. Basically what that means is, you know, all the places you can catch a 12 News live stream, there are lots of different ways to do that. We will now have this video stream, many of you are watching currently, available to you that way as well. That will come with a lot of cool things. It's going to, you know, it's going to look clean. It's going to be great. We'll have promotional opportunities. But the other thing, you know, most importantly for the listeners and for the viewers will be we've got some really fun guests lined up and in the works for the next 2-3 weeks, kind of taking us into football season, to be perfectly honest with you. And that starts Monday. Monday we are, you know, as locked in with a MLB executive this time of year as you can be. Obviously, schedules change on a dime this time of year, but we do expect right near the top of the show to have J.J. Piccolo join us, sort of to kick things off. And then very soon after that, maybe even back-to-back segments. We don't typically do that with interviews, but we'll do it with these two, certainly. We'll have Mitch Holthus stop by, get us all caught up on the Chiefs. I know he's traveling, so he's going to try to give us a call when he's, I think, driving to an airport somewhere. His life, man, you got to – if you try to keep up with all the places he is within a calendar year, it's crazy. It is
wild.
He's
all over the place.
Yeah, so hey, we're expecting to catch him for a minute.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but if you've downloaded, obviously the Odyssey app is going to be a great place to be able to catch our show in audio form, live or podcasted. But I would also imagine downloading the 12 News app, being able right there on your phone to be able to watch. I mean, you can do that on social media too, but so download that app, because like push notifications and things like that to know when our show and that simulcast is live.
We will be able to push to it for sure. It will have a page for sure that carries that particular stream. There are sort of two of those that exist, if I understand it correctly. And so one will have our newscast, and one is a secondary source where we might run like a live breaking news or interviews or things like that when they're happening. It goes to that. So that will have like a landing spot for you. And then we'll figure out. That's the thing. There's evolution. There's a ton of evolution in this. You know, certainly there has not been something like this done in this market. I don't recall, Tommy, seeing this sort of partnership really anywhere that I've seen. And it's always been a nice marriage and a nice relationship. Obviously, I work for both companies. Bruce Hurdle, who started the show, worked for both companies. There's been that natural relationship of things forever. So that is a unique piece to it. I don't recall this kind of partnership anywhere. So we're going to sort of revolutionize things and do things and learn as we go, and it will be really cool, and it will provide a ton of opportunities that we are so excited for. We got Big 12 Media Days next week. It's a great week to do it. Brandon Zenner's headed out there to Vegas in an assignment I'm probably as jealous as any that I miss out on these days. You know, I don't usually miss road life in that world anymore. It's been a long time since I've been on the road like that. Probably the first Super Bowl would be the last big one I was on, I think. But I'm pretty jealous of Big 12 Media Days in Vegas. You want to talk about a laid-back atmosphere. You get all kinds of access. You've got the buzz surrounding K-State KU. You've got the buzz surrounding the expanded Big 12. And you're in Las Vegas. I mean,
can you beat that?
Come on.
I know there was a lot of criticism when that was announced that it was moving to Vegas, like away from traditional Big 12 territory. But come on, it's Vegas.
Brilliant. Do you think any reporter is going to miss the opportunity to convince their bosses to let them go cover that?
Absolutely not.
If it's in Dallas, you know what? We might be able to miss. No, we ain't missing Vegas. We're going to be there. We'll get those reports next week. Can't wait. Can't wait for it. Next week's going to be so fun. We'll come back. We'll tell you about the weekend here on KFH when we return.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.